welcome to Prestonwood and happy Mother's Day. We thank God for all of our mothers. That was a terrible applause for your mother. That was not acceptable at all. Hey, we're glad you're here today. It's wonderful. Mother's Day, of course, it always falls on a Sunday, which we're so grateful for. And to have these, Neil Jeffrey is my name, by the way. And Dr. Graham is going to baptize in just a moment, so he's already up there, so he asked me to do this. But we're going to have a parent-child dedications, where we dedicate our newest additions to these families and our church. And so we're going to do that, and a wonderful time. And Diana Pendley is going to come and share this with us. Diana.
All right. Thank you, Neil. We do have some amazing families to introduce to you, church family. We're starting with Joseph and Emma Shuk-Aina with Oluwashame Larey Danielle. Stephen and Jillian Bryant with Buck Alexander. Kevin and Emily Coker with Grayson Logan. Lizzie Eduardo with Israela Joyna. Laura Fangman with Mason Knight. Micah and Meg Ludwig with Ryan Elizabeth. Keeson and Shannon Martin with Noah James. David and Mari Miller with Lucy Elizabeth. Oluwashan Ogodari with Oluwatami Lane Adigoke. Our own preteen minister, Matt and Kristen Rucker with James Gregory. Katie Russell with Charlie Morgan and Colin Lucas. Christopher and Jade Rucker with Luna Gale. Sebastian and Alejandra Torres with Camilla. Monica White with Karsten Shea. And Chris and Melissa Barber with Nolan Andrew. Thank you.
Well, let's hear it for these new families and these new children. How wonderful it is. And we thank God. We rejoice. You know, the Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord. And we're going to pray in just a minute. And I'm going to pray out loud, but I want you, the church, to pray with them and for them as well in these moments. But I want you. You know what I'm going to pray for? I'm going to pray that men, dads, you would love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you would love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for. And moms, I'm praying the same for you. You would love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your husband. And so that the love of Jesus will dominate your lives, your marriage, your family, and your child. You know, experts have always said, and they still say this, the greatest influence on a child is the home. And the greatest influence on the home is a marriage. So you to love one another, to love your Lord your God, to love your church, to be involved in church, to raise these kids, and this gift God has blessed you with in this child, to just realize God had placed an incredible gift to you and to love it, to cherish it, to protect it, and to pray for it, and to surround it with God's love in your home, also your church, as we pray with you and for you in this, because God has great things in store for you as a family, as a couple, and also for this child, what God wants to do. And of course, to pray that one day, maybe you would have the incredible privilege of leading your child to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any better than that. So church, why don't you join me as we pray as these moms and dads are being dedicated to the Lord and to their family, and also these children are being dedicated. Let's pray. I'll lead us. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift of life, how precious it is. And we acknowledge it comes from you. And this child is a gift from our God to these precious parents. Lord, bless them. I pray for every man here, standing up here, and also all of our men, that we may love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Love Jesus. Love our wives. And may the world be amazed at how much we love Jesus and how much we love our wives. May our wives just be committed, and these moms just to love you, Jesus, and their husbands, that everyone who sees them will be amazed how much they love Jesus and how much they love their husbands. Lord, bless them. Let love dominate their lives, the love of Jesus, their marriage, their family, and this child. And we just ask you to bless this child as we commit him or her to you. And may you bless them, let them grow. And we do to pray that at the earliest moment in their life, may they realize they're a sinner and they need a Savior. And they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and walk in the truth. God bless us as a church as we affirm them and encourage them. And may you use all of us together to allow you to accomplish your work in these young lives, be everything you created them to be, and to do all you've orchestrated for them to do. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Let's rejoice again as we go to baptism. Thank you, Dr. Joey.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. So we dedicate babies as we dedicate these parents to the Lord. And then we baptize believers. When a person receives Christ as Savior, then following through in obedience of Christian baptism, which is the testimony of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and this brand new life in Christ. We are buried together in baptism in Christ and raised to walk in newness to life, in newness of life. So we have a great couple starting out. We have 20 this morning. Jonathan Teague is helping me. This is Judy Aragon and her husband,
Joseph Aragon,
together in Christ. Upon your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Hannah Mulligan.
This is Rhonda Ogden.
Rhonda and Hannah, because of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we go. Oh, yeah, this is Brandon Mulligan.
This is Carol Aldridge.
Brandon and Carol, because of your professions of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is another Mulligan. Three Mulligans today. That's good on the golf course. And?
This is Rowan Bridges.
Brendan and Rowan, because of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Imani Guerrero.
This is Tara Erbach.
Tara and Imani, upon your public professions of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So many of these would say it was my mother's faith or a grandmother's faith and influence that brought me to follow Jesus. And so thank God for every mother and the influence of a godly mom. This is Ella Erbach.
This is Holly Erbach.
Upon your professions of faith in Jesus, We baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Ashlyn Croplin. Did I get that right? Ashlyn Croplin.
And this is Diana Traub.
Ashlyn and Diana, because of your professions of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jose Leal.
And this is Michelle Trent.
Michelle and Jose, upon your public professions of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Chad Marsh.
This is Joe Grunin.
Chad and Joe, upon your professions of faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Brittany Tate.
This is Kate Reyna.
Kate and Brittany, upon your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to our Lord's command symbolizing his death and burial and resurrection, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. What a great way to begin this day, this Lord's Day, which is Mother's Day. And I want to greet and congratulate all the moms and the grandmoms. We love you. Your influence is invaluable to all of us. We love you and we thank God for you. And we pray that you will have a blessed day every day, not only this day. Welcome to Prestonwood. All of you who are our guests in the room and also online, to all of you watching online, we're so glad that you're joining us wherever you are, that the presence of God would be very real to you as we preach God's word. You're going to hear incredible worship and music this morning, and then a message from God's word from Romans chapter 5. So get your Bibles ready. We are praying that God would send revival to our church, to people around this nation and the world. This week, we had the opportunity to participate in the National Day of Prayer broadcast, which was broadcast across America and around the world. And I wanted you to get just a taste, just a clip of what our choir, don't you love our great Prestonwood choir, what our choir contributed to this great evening of prayer. They joined Shane and Shane digitally. I don't know where Shane and Shane were, actually, but I know that our choir was singing with them, and we brought you a two-minute clip just to kind of be our, well, let this be our call to worship before Michael Neal and the team and the choir leads us in praise right now. But watch the screens and begin praying with us that God would save and bless America again as his people are revived in our hearts. That's what we were praying for on Thursday. Let's keep up the prayers. Watch this.
All right, y'all. Come on, church. We declare together all over the nation.
He is. He is. He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy of all blessing and honor and glory.
He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of this. All right, y'all, together we sing. Yeah.
stand together with us?
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Everyone join in.
So when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to Jesus. There's nothing impossible. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power.
Sing this with us.
Oh Lord my God, when I awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
I see the star.
I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display.
Come on.
Then
sings my soul. Great in mercy, great in love, great in compassion, kindness towards us. We celebrate his presence with us today. He says in his word that when we gather like this and we sing and we bring a grateful heart, we bring a grateful song, that his presence comes and dwells in, he delights in our praise. The Almighty God is with us today. He is here today. And we are really glad that you are here. I want to add my welcome to Dr. Graham's. All of you guests today, we're so glad that you're here. We've been praying for you to join us, and we would love to have a record of your visit. Be sure and text the word guest to 74788, or you can go to the atrium at Guest Central in the back there right behind you. And right there, we have a gift we want to give you, one of Dr. Graham's books, and our ministers are there to answer any questions that you might have about the ministries at Prestonwood. We're just one big family here. We're very glad that you're here. And I do want to give a shout out again to everybody online, more than 40 nations joining us every single weekend. And our men and women in uniform, we especially want to thank you. Our first responders, thank you for your service and sacrifice. We're so glad that you're with us, and we trust that you sense the love of God right where you are. As we continue to worship today, we want to give thanks for the presence of the Lord. Dr. Graham is bringing a powerful message on the love of God for us expressed through Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? And we're going to continue to worship. Father, we thank you that you are with us today. We are humbled to be in your presence today. This is your day. And in our mind's eye, when we consider the cross, when we consider what you have done for us, Jesus, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, for God so loved the world. We're so thankful today, and we know that no one cares for us and loves us like you, Jesus. So we welcome your presence here. We look to your word that is life to us. This is your day today. In the name that is above every name, Jesus, we pray and worship. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated.
Tell a story. If my life would sing a song, if I have a testimony, if I have anything at all, no one else. His faithful hand has held me all this way. When I'm old and gray, all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known, in you alone my joy was found. Tell their children, let this be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven, and you were everything to me. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known, in you alone my joy was found. Still in love. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray, all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy, my joy.
Beautiful, and what a happy Mother's Day song for all of us. The love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His love, we can love one another as God has loved us. As we're going to see in the message this morning, that this love of Jesus is poured out in our hearts so that we can pour out into our world, into our families, this great love of God. The title of this message is The Greatest Love of All. So be finding in your Bibles Romans chapter 5. And we're going to take a look in just a moment at verses 5 through 11. But on earth, there's no greater love than the love of a mother. On this Mother's Day, we celebrate that love. The love of a godly mother who loved you before you were even born and loves you still after you are born. I thought it would be a good thing maybe to bring up some great quotes about mothers as we get started today. Here's one. A mother's love for a child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dares all things and crushes down remorselessly all that stands in its path. If you don't think that's true, just get in front of a mama bear sometime. Here's one. Mother's love is bliss, is peace. It need not be acquired. It need not be deserved. If it is there, it is like a blessing. If it is not there, it is as if all the beauty had gone out of life. And here's another. No love in mortality comes closer to approximating the pure love of Jesus Christ than the selfless love of a devoted mother for her child. Or this, a mother's love reaches far beyond circumstances and feelings. It sees past flaws and imperfections and celebrates God's gift of love sent from heaven in the form of a child. Here's one more. The mother's love is like God's love. He loves us not because we are lovable, but because it is His nature to love and because we are His children. And with mother love, we have a greater love, and that is the love of God through Jesus Christ. And this love is an eternal and expansive, effusive, extravagant love. The love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our message to the world. It's our message to you. Not a message, but the love of God, the love of Christ is the message. It's the story of the Bible. God's Word, the Bible, is a love story. It's the story of God's great love for you in redeeming us, and redeeming love will be our theme and will be until we die. It's certainly the core the central fact and force of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a series for our guests today. Here in our Prestonwood family, we've been looking at the riches of Romans in the book of Romans and this gospel that is so needed in the world today. And what is this good news? This good news that in spite of our sin, in spite of our rebellion, God loves you. God loves each one of us. And it is our opportunity and it is our obligation in our generation to make sure that this message of the love of Jesus gets to the world. Amen. This is the mission of the church. And oh, how the world, our nation, of all things and above all things, needs the message of the love of God. It's the one thing, this message, that will change the world. As the old song says it, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And that love, the sweet love of God in Jesus Christ, is our message. People need to know. You need to know that the gift of God's love is available and ready for your response. So in the fifth verse of Romans chapter 5, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, or just in time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God, key verse in all the Bible right here, mark it, underscore it, circle it. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And since therefore we have now been justified, that is saved by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For it is while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, that we will be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God, we exult, we explode with praise to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received this reconciliation. The greatest love of all is the love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were helpless and powerless and could not overcome the power of Satan, the power of sin, the power of death. We were helpless, unable to escape the wrath and the judgment that comes upon sin. That God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for his enemies. All unworthy of his love. All unable to save ourselves. The love of God. Now the truth is, of course, that the love of God can raise questions, especially for skeptics who want to know, if God is a God of love, how can a loving God send someone to hell? Or if God is love, how could a loving God allow sin and suffering and sorrow and disease and death? And if God is loving, people want to know, why are there tragedies and natural disasters and Holocaust and tsunamis and hunger and suffering? If God is love, why does he allow evil to even exist? These are hard questions. And those of us who are believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we admit they're not easy to answer. But God has given us an answer in the midst of all of this. Skeptics may wonder at these hard-to-answer questions, but the fact is, God has proven his love above all things we know in the midst of sin and suffering and tragedy and all the rest, in the prospect of judgment and hell. We know that God has provided a solution. God showed us his love in that he died on the cross for us. And this love, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 4 that God is love, just as it is the nature of a mom, a mother, to love a child. It is the very nature and heart of God to love. But that love is not soft, it is not sentimental, it is a holy love. It is the love that he gives in the face of judgment. And this is why we say that this love is inexhaustible and incomprehensible and indescribable, and yes, it is indestructible. God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. When verse 8 of Romans 5 says God demonstrates or shows his love towards us, it's in the present active tense, meaning that his love shows up every single day in our lives in multiple ways. He never stops loving us. God's love, according to verse 5 of chapter 5 of Romans, is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The agent of God's love in the believer's life is the Holy Spirit who resides in us. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when you believe in me, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this is what the scripture is saying here, that the love of God, like a river, is gushing. It's not as though God has put a few drops of his love in our hearts, but the word here, the idea here, is he has poured out his love. Look at it again, verse 5, that he has poured out his love. He has lavished us with this great love. Not just a little bit, but all of it. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us deep within that we are loved like this, lavishly, abundantly. You see, love is not something that is to be abstract or theoretical or even just theological, though there's great theological truth to the love of God, but that's not it alone. The Holy Spirit makes this love real to us. We experience his love. This love engulfs us. And that's the love of God. You know, the love of God is so difficult to comprehend and to understand, isn't it? I believe it with all my heart. I celebrate the love of God. I believe the love of God. But it is beyond me. It's beyond any of us that God would love us. Remember the childhood story of the Frog Prince? Maybe you're telling your children this old story about a frog who was talking to a princess. I don't know if we've canceled this story or not, but I'm going to tell it anyway. We probably have canceled this story, and I just didn't get the message. But a frog is talking to a princess and tells the beautiful princess that even though I'm a frog, I'm actually a prince. And if you will kiss me, then I will become a prince. And so she believes the frog's story and kisses the frog. And he becomes a prince just as he promised. Now, when I was a little guy hearing that story and reading about the frog and the princess, the one thing I'm thinking is, why would a beautiful princess kiss an ugly, stinking toad? Why would a beautiful woman put her mouth on the mouth of a frog and kiss a frog? I could never understand it. But so much more. We realize that when God saved us, when God loved us and showed his love towards us, he kissed the frog. Amen. You're the frog. You're the toad. He gives some words here that describes our condition as God loved us. It says we were enemies of God. It says we were at war with God. It even says we were ungodly, which means we were without God, and so we do godless things. Ungodly. Unrighteous. Wretched and wicked. I am reading a book written by Don Wilton, who is a good friend of mine. He's pastor of the First Baptist Church of South Carolina. And Don had the wonderful privilege of being Billy Graham's pastor for the last 10 or 12 years of Dr. Graham's life. And he would go over, drive a couple of hundred miles every Saturday to be with Billy. And they would just talk life and scripture and pray and spend the day together, eat hot dogs. It's a wonderful book. It's called Saturdays with Billy. And as I was reading one of the chapters, he was talking about how Billy Graham, and I hope the next generation doesn't forget about who Billy Graham was and is. Great evangelist, preached to more people than anyone in the history of the world. But Billy was just, they were talking about the great hymn, Amazing Grace. And John Newton said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. The problem is, so many of us don't consider ourselves a wretch. But Billy Graham did. He was always amazed by the grace of God, according to Wilton, that God would save a wretch like Billy Graham. And I'm thinking as I'm reading that, well, if Billy Graham is a wretch, where does that leave me and you? No, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And that his death on the cross, God showed his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, wretched and lost, Christ died for us. Jesus took our place on the cross. There's a word in the middle of verse 8, a little word, for. God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's the Greek word, huper, H-U-P-E-R, huper. And it means in your place. He was our substitute. It is as though God took our sins. In reality, he took our sins and he became what we were in order that we might become who he is. That's the substitutionary atonement. The death of Jesus Christ is not a mere martyrdom or murder. It was not the heroic efforts of a cause or a king, but rather God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Why? Because he loved each one of us. Jesus loves me in spite of what I am. And here's the thing. Though I was unlovely and ungodly, powerless and helpless to save myself, he died for me. That's a simple illustration that the Apostle Paul gives us here when he says, you know, it's rare, every now and then, someone might die for a good person. But who dies, who gives their lives for an evil person? Of course, we have soldiers and law enforcement. others who are willing to risk their lives every day for people they don't even know. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, but a man would lay down his life for his friends. It's the greatest love of all. And thank God for those who risk their lives every day to serve and to protect us. But he says much more than this, much more than this. God's love for you, God's love for me. The fact is that God loved us before time began. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Before the beginning of time, God loved you and you and you and you and each of you. And if you ever doubt the love of God, just go to the cross, and there it's written in red. Paul speaks here of the blood of Christ. With drops of blood, his signature written in red is this love message to you. God loves you before you were born. God loved you in your mother's womb. In Job chapter 10 and verse 10, and this is from the Message translation or paraphrase. Look at these words on the screen. Oh, the marvel of conception. Again, this is scripture in the Message version. Oh, the marvel of conception. What a miracle of skin and bone. You gave me life itself and incredible love. You watched and guarded every breath I took. What incredible a love. God loves you. He always has. He always will. He loved you before time began. He loved you before you were born. And he loves you as time will never end. At the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center, where we are saving babies every day, one of our most effective testimonies and tools, if you will, is the ultrasound. There was a time when a mother could come into our center and, or perhaps to a doctor's office and hear the heartbeat of a baby. And that was, of course, the sign of life within the womb. But then a game changer, the ultrasound, and now even 3D ultrasound. The miracle of this technology, you can look into the mother's womb. And at the earliest of days and weeks, you see a baby being formed. And we have discovered at our pregnancy center, over 73,000 babies have been born in the last 25 years as a result of this ministry. And yes, we praise God for that. But what Leanne Jameson and those who serve in this great ministry are telling us, that what changed everything is when, and changes everything, is when a mother sees her baby. No longer a blob of tissue or a problem to be solved, but a living, breathing baby that God is forming in the womb, fashioning. And what does the scripture say? In love. This is why we believe so deeply in the sanctity of life, from the womb to the tomb. But it's even before the womb and after the tomb. This love of God. You love the child way before your child was born. If you have been a mother, or have you received a child, perhaps through adoption, God gave you, moms, a special love for a child. No one loves a baby like a mom. Over the years, I've held newborns from time to time, or visited a hospital or seen a newborn, and sometimes you look at a newborn and you go, oop. They're not always beautiful, except to the mom. A mom's baby is a precious gift from God. And just as you love your child, God loves you before you were born. And He demonstrates that love every single day by His cross and by His blood. And one last thing. I have way, way too little time to really do this text justice. But one more thing. We're told in verse 10 that we are saved by His life. We are saved by His death, His cross, His blood. But when it says saved by His life, what do you think that means? That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. We often speak of the cross and the death of Christ and His love shown at the cross. But without His life, without His resurrection, the cross has no meaning, no eternal meaning. I was just seeing this week that there's a great book of theology written by a Princeton theologian by the name of Charles Hodge. And it's a systematic theology. It's a thing that students and seminary students often read. It's systematic theology, all the theology of the Bible in a compilation, Doctrine and Truth. And in Charles Hodge's great systematic theology, there are 127 pages about the cross. And all good, of course. And yet only 40 pages about the resurrection. And when I saw that, I thought, we talk too little of the resurrection. We speak often of His blood, but we are saved because there is life in the blood. And here is salvation. Now, we're rounding third and coming home, so stay with me. When we sinned and broke God's commandments, we were born in this condition. We are born without God, without a relationship with God. God loves us, but God loves us not because we're valuable, but we're valuable because God loves us. And yet we are void. There's a spiritual vacuum. There's an emptiness. Because when man sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, God moved out. God moved out. We are, as the scripture says here, godless, without God, and therefore without hope. And that emptiness that people feel, that loneliness that people have, that's the emptiness, that's the void of God. So what is salvation? Are you listening? Salvation is not getting man out of earth and into heaven. That's the byproduct of salvation. Salvation is getting God out of heaven and into us. So salvation is getting God into your life. It is receiving the gift of His love, and therefore the Holy Spirit pours out this love in your life, and it becomes real. Again, not a soft love, not a sentimental love, but a holy love, and it is the love of Christ that is in His death and in the power of His resurrection that gives us life. He who has the Son does not have life. He that has the Son has life. So the life of God is now in us. We are saved by His life. And it is the living Redeemer, Jesus Christ, that will give you the gift of His eternal love if you will receive it today. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. Every time we preach here on Sunday, we give an invitation. Everywhere we go with this message of the love of God. Have you received His love? It's like any other gift. If you give your mother a gift today, or your grandmother, it's only you love her, but if she doesn't receive the love, doesn't receive the gift, what good is it? And so, God loves you. This wonderful gift of His love is available to you. Remember, you don't have to earn it. You can't deserve it. It's while you were ungodly and lost and headed for hell that He loved you and still does. Nothing you can do can make God love you less than He loves you right now, and there's nothing you can do to earn that love. So right now, I'm going to ask you to receive this gift of love. If you don't know that Christ is living in you, if you don't know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus, a lot of people have a relationship with a church or a relationship with their parents who go to church, or you have a relationship with Christian friends, but do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit now is moving in your heart. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, is ready to pour out this amazing love into your life if you will simply pray and invite Jesus into your life. He comes with love, all of His love. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I invite You to come into my life. I believe You died for me and rose again. I admit my sin and ask You to forgive me. Thank You for loving me enough to give Your life for me. And here's the key. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Just invite Him. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me and change me and make me Your child. And if you will sincerely pray and mean it, I promise you, not because I said it, but because God says it, that Christ will come in. He will begin changing you from the inside out, and you are on your way to heaven. Repentance means you were on your way to judgment, you were on your way to hell, but you turned around, you came to the cross, you came to the empty tomb, you trusted in Christ, and now Christ, who loves you, is living in you. So you can say, thank You, Lord. If you're praying this prayer, say, thank You, Lord, for coming into my life. I believe it. I receive it. Now, there's something I want to encourage you and ask you to do today. If you're praying to receive Christ, I'm going to ask you to openly follow Him and profess Him, because everyone I see in the Gospels, in the New Testament, that followed Jesus did it openly. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. What great love the Father has given to us. The very least we can do is to return that love. Love so amazing, the hymn writer said, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. I'm going to ask you to come forward today, upstairs and downstairs, online. The number online is 74788. Just text in J-E-S-U-S. We're standing by to help you. If you're watching on PowerPoint right now, you can trust in Christ and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We're standing by to encourage you. But listen, right in this room, I'm going to ask you to come forward, man, woman, boy, or girl. And by the act of coming forward, you'll be professing your faith in Christ. You'll be saying, I've received His love, and I want to love Jesus back. I want to love Him back with my life. So come forward today. There are others who need a church home, a church family, where you are loved and cared for. Prestonwood is a great family. What's the secret to this great church? I'll tell you what it is. There's a whole lot of love in this church. A whole lot of love in Jesus Christ. If you want to come where you are loved and cared for and serve Christ with us, I invite you to come and make that decision to be a part of our Prestonwood family, the love of a church family. So we're going to pray together, and after we pray, we're going to stand, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward. Just one more time. I'm going to ask those of you who prayed that prayer with me and you want Christ to come into your life to make it public, to go public. Our faith in Christ is certainly personal, but it's never private. It's always public. Go public and come forward today, upstairs and downstairs. Our ministers are in the balcony. They're on the lower level right here with me. Just come. Those of you who want to join this church, you come forward as well. Just come forward. You say, can I do that today? Absolutely. We want you to come today. So make that decision. God bless this one on your way. Thank God for you. Lord, we thank you for this one and many others who are saying an eternal yes to you. We trust you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.